Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. In today's podcast, we're continuing to talk about the public reading of Scripture. Our key sentence for this series of podcasts states, Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly. And the key sentence for today, a congregation will pay particular attention to even long passages of Scripture when they're read by a family. In the last podcast, we listened to a Chapel of the Air radio broadcast from many years ago. In that broadcast, David, you and your wife Karen shared very valuable information regarding the subject of two people reading Scripture together. Today, we turn to the subject of families reading Scripture. David, you and Karen have a wonderful family. You have three sons and one daughter. They're now grown and have children of their own. I'm quite certain that you had many opportunities to read Scripture as a family. Is that true?
Many may be an overstatement, because when you're asked to preach somewhere, if you say, I'd like to bring my four children and my wife and we'll read Scripture, you're not going to get a very excited response, because that's a big expense if you're flying people somewhere. We did it a number of times, most of the time in our home church. That was wonderful, and I think people will get a feel when they hear it done. So I'm kind of anxious to listen to the broadcast from way back then myself.
Okay, well, let's not wait another second. Let's go to that broadcast and to another exchange between you and your wife, Karen, and your family joins you for this broadcast.
The next message covers a new idea, family Bible reading. Let's hear what David and Karen have to share.
Were you raised like I was back in the days when value was still highly placed on the memorization of Scripture? Maybe so. Anyway, I'm David Maines, and with me is my wife Karen, along with Ted Seeley, and we welcome you, good friend, to another visit in the Chapel of the Air, which, incidentally, is part 5 of a 14-part series. Karen, fill in the people who missed the other parts as to where we are.
Well, David, you and I are mapping out a private campaign, which is sort of crusading for down with the dulls in public Bible reading. We have a suspicion that the inadequate presentation of Scripture in public reading during our worship services is transferred to a feeling of dullness about private reading of Scripture. And so the last few days we've tried to give a scriptural basis for why we should pay attention to the public reading of Scripture, and also to give many ideas as far as how this can be done. And most of these ideas have been very simple ones.
Well, one of the ideas we shared was that instead of just reading the Scripture on a Sunday morning, you can memorize the Scripture. And just the fact that you've gone to that amount of work will keep the attention of people. There's no question about it. In Proverbs chapter 7, it says, "My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teachings as the apple of your eye. Write them on the tablet of your heart," which sounds like memory, doesn't it? I remember when I was in the youth group back in the church where I was raised, one of the sponsors worked hard to get us to memorize Scripture. I fought it all the way, and I think I was typical of all those in the group. But now that I'm older, those Scriptures still live in my heart, and I'm very grateful to that person. Probably should write that individual a thank you letter.
Maybe confess or something.
I don't like confession as much as writing thank you letters. We have found an alternative to Scripture memory that is another powerful tool and can be used within the family.
This came about when we had been practicing the public reading of Scripture by doing a choral script on the life of David with adults. And they had all come over to the house sometime on Saturday probably to practice this. It was rather a lengthy scripture, as I recall. And we did that script reading that Sunday morning, and we're driving out with the family in the car to see Grandpa and Grandma in the afternoon. And all of a sudden, out of the back seat of the car, I heard our little children, at that time they were smaller than they are now, almost word perfectly reciting this rhythmical choral reading back to us. And it was with great delight they were kind of bouncing to the rhythm in the back. But they had picked up that scripture just simply by listening to the practice of it. And so you and I began to experiment with family Bible readings for public, hoping that we would be able to inculcate scripture in their hearts.
And it's turned out very well. Sometimes it's more helpful to give illustration of what you're talking about than trying to define it. So why don't we do that now? This is an extended family Bible reading by the six members of our family, minus one. That's Joel, our 13-year-old.
Jolie was visiting with friends who have a work amongst the Indians in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so we asked one of his good friends, Matthew Elliott, who is going into high school, to fill in for Jolie, and he did an excellent job.
After you hear this, I think you'll understand more what it is we're talking about by family Bible reading in public. Be aware that we're attempting at the beginning to contrast the scriptures with the present worldview regarding this topic. And the contrast, I think, sets up beautifully the scripture that you'll hear.
Thank you for calling the Beaver Valley Cinema. We are located at the south end of the Beaver Valley Shopping Mall. Playing today in Cinema Number 1, starring Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton, rated R, the best little whorehouse in Texas. Showtimes are 12.
Why was Burt Reynolds voted the most admired male by teenage girls all across America? Discover what makes Burt so attractive in this month's issue of Teenagers Magazine, now available at newsstands everywhere. Look for the cover picture of Brooke Shields.
My son,
special October feature
keep your father's commandment.
How do they know when you don't want
and
to?
Forsake not your mother's teaching.
For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light.
And the reproofs of discipline are the way of life.
To preserve you from the evil woman.
From the smooth tongue of the adventurous.
Can a man carry fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned?
Or can he walk upon hot coals and his feet not be scorched?
At the window of my house, I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man without sense. And lo, a woman meets him, dressed as a harlot, wily of heart. She seizes him and kisses him, and with impudent face she says to him,
I have decked my couch with coverings, colored spreads of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love.
With much seductive speech she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter.
Or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its entrails.
As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know it will cost him his life.
When Delilah saw that Samson had told her all his mind, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, who brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, The Philistines are upon you, Samson.
And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out, as at other times, and shake myself free. And he did not know that the Lord had left him.
And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with bronze fetters, and he ground at the mill
and
in the
now,
prison.
And now, O sons, listen to me. Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim has she laid low. Yea, all her slain are a mighty host. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chamber of death.
In the spring of the year, the time when kings go forth to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him, and they ravaged the Ammonites. But David remained at Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon, when David arose from his couch and was walking upon the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing.
Now
the
Joseph
woman was very
handsome
beautiful,
and good-looking.
And David sent
and after
and
a time his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, Lie with me, but he refused. And although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie with her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was in the house, She caught him by his garment,
saying, "I am writing to you, young man,
lie with me."
Because
but
you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world
Question,
passes away,
how can a young man
and the
keep
last
his way
of it,
pure?
But he
Answer,
who does the will of God
by guarding it according to thy word.
Forever.
With my whole heart I seek thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. I have laid up thy commandments in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I am
you
a sojourner
have heard that it was
earth.
Said,
Hide not
you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it
away. Finally, brethren,
it is better that you lose one of your members,
whatever is honorable,
your whole body be thrown
whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. For the lips of a loose woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths.
The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is caught in the toils of his sin.
Karen, I wonder if people realize how long a reading that was. That went 6 minutes. And that's a long time to listen to the scripture, but it was very interesting. Interesting not only to us as a family, but I'm sure interesting to people who listen to it as well. This is a topical reading. In other words, we've picked scriptures from all different parts of the Bible on this specific theme and kind of put them together. Let's give examples of other kind of scripture readings that people could do as a family.
Well, you could take a Bible story, such as the story of Samson, which we touched upon in that reading. That's only 4 chapters long and could easily be divided up so family members could read different parts.
Okay, if I cut it down from 4 chapters to 3 chapters, an entire New Testament book, the book of Titus, could be done in 3 chapters.
And then there's the story of Hezekiah, which is only 2 chapters.
Okay, that's where Sennacherib comes. That's a good story.
That would be a wonderful Bible reading for
families. Lots of good parts in it. One chapter, I think of the parables of Jesus about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Those all fit into one chapter and would take a very short period of time. Now, on Monday, we're going to present another reading, the Thanksgiving reading. People will be more ready for it because it'll be the second one we do. But a Thanksgiving family reading, we'll do that on Monday. Who learns more, Karen, when these things are put together, the readers or the listeners?
Well, it's always the people who do it. And I think one of the things that we are working toward is to have the children participate in this enough so that they can begin putting their own family readings together, because at that point the word will have the most effect on their life and they will have the most retention when they actually created or combined scriptures.
Agreed. The key verse to all of what we're talking about is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul says to Timothy, "Give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." And we've given a lot of attention to preaching and teaching, and we're picking up this neglected area, the public reading of Scripture. And we want people to pay special attention this Sunday in their church as to how the Scripture is read to see whether or not what we're saying has true validity.
What a neat way to read Scripture, David. It's quite evident that involving the family in reading Scripture for a worship service can really make the Scripture come alive. I can also see that this kind of reading can truly engage every person in the congregation, from the youngest to the oldest.
You know, it's amazing how quickly the interest of a congregation picks up and how powerful it is. It's not just that it hits you in the head that this is different. It hits you in the stomach in the sense that emotionally you're responding to this. And when you hear the adult voices, it's one thing. When you hear those different ages, and especially the younger voices, how strongly that impacts people and how it has subliminal messages even, which says we should be reading Scripture as a family. We can do that. You know, we don't have to play instruments. We just need a Bible in front of us, and it's fun if it's done together, and it has a phenomenal wallop to it.
Well, that's certainly true. Well, we hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we're certainly thanking you for joining us. You found this SermonCoach.com podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons.
Dean, do people know they can go back and hear the previous podcast? You know, I'm not a real literate person on electronics things, but the whole series is here, and people can listen to it one at a time.
You know, that's a good point. On the podcast page of the website, there's a list of all of the podcasts we've done to date. This is podcast number 105. So you can go back, you can see them listed there, and you can scroll back through and listen to any of them that you would like to listen to. And we would encourage you to do that, and we would encourage you to join us here for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.